Progress. Is it?
Yeah. Yes.
It's in progress. All right, guys. I guess just like last time, only better. Do you know that? You don't know that reference, do you? It's a Bill Murray reference.
Is it Scrooged?
No, close. 80s, but it's Stripes.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Stripes, but it's been like 15 years at least since I've seen Stripes.
Well, it's an army movie, yeah. And one of my all-time favorites, my dad's all-time favorites, and I mean, John Candy, Harold Ramis, and Bill Murray all in it, and fucking Judge Reinhold as a paranoid stoner. I need to rewatch it.
You're selling me on it more than I liked it as a kid.
It's such a funny movie, and at their graduation, Bill, when they show up late and shit, Bill Murray's like, just like last time, only better. So, yeah, I guess with that, Nick, you know what to do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mayhem.
Oh, on our crazy
new day for a while, because there aren't new Marvel shows on Wednesdays to watch, so we don't care what day
this
comes
out.
Nope,
but I got a book of Boba Fett shit to talk about.
Kyle has to do his Star Wars day on Wednesday, and we kind of are left to our own devices because there aren't any Marvel shows or even MCU movies coming out for a while.
Nope.
So I want to thank our sponsor, Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. We are from obviously LRM and the Genreverse Podcast Network, which is now on YouTube. So if you aren't watching us on YouTube, at least give us a subscribe on our new channel because we can bring you more content. The more support we get,
it's right there, ladies and gentlemen. Nick can't see it, but all of you watching my OBS style or the recording, you can see it.
Yeah. So this
we got
week,
I was gonna talk about our new
overlay
layout. There's the word I was looking for. Our new layout. We got our wonderful Galactics background stuff going on, new overlay down below. There's the Nick and our information. I'm trying to figure out how to point in mirror that way. Hey,
so and I'm then, just looking down when you say that. Ooh, it's
pretty logos here and here. So yeah,
we're
guys,
surrounded with good shit.
Yeah, I know, right? I even like hacked up the Twitter bird and put them in the multiverse. So I hope everyone does take a moment and hit subscribe on the YouTube channel if you're watching us on Genreverse Podcast YouTube channel. And then if you're listening on your favorite app, if you've got the ability, Apple, Spotify, or whatnot, to leave a review or thumbs up or some stars or whatnot, give us what you think we deserve. And yeah, help us grow this channel.
Yeah, and that'll help us get a Rotten Tomatoes certification eventually. We're hoping
that as well.
We don't have enough reviews, let's say. We have plenty of subscribers, we don't have enough reviews, so.
they want to see
a certain amount of reviews, like 200 on Apple, and it's like, what,
something like that. So yeah, guys, we appreciate it. Nick, you want to talk about what we're talking about?
Yes.
Today now
we watched the superior Daredevil. I did it yesterday with the irreplaceable Ben Affleck, who would never, ever be topped as a Daredevil, ever. So I'm sorry, Charlie Cox, but we're back to the OG. Younger Affleck, who would have made a better Batman back then than now. Of course, I'm joking. In fact, I have named this episode, which you'll already know because you're watching or listening to it. Is it worse than The Amazing Spider-Man? Which I think we'll kind of try to... It'll be revealed through our conversation, and maybe we'll save the exact comparison for the end,
for the final answer,
but I'm sure we'll get to it before the end. Because that was the last two terrible Marvel movies we watched. That's why I'm saying we're going to answer that question. I wrote the post before we started the show, so we're going to figure it out. I didn't say, is it worse than Spider-Man?
I know,
Amazing
I'm
Spider-Man?
Questioning myself, like, is it?
We'll find out as we discuss the strengths and many weaknesses of this film. First of all, Kyle, what was your experience? Okay, so I watched the director's cut for the first time. Have you seen the director's cut before?
Yes, I saw theatrical once and director's cut once, because back when the director's cut originally came out, they were like, oh, it's so much better. You'll actually enjoy the movie. And now it took a few years before I saw the director's cut for that, you know, information to finally go, oh, okay, I'll give it a chance. But it's easily been over a decade since I saw the director's cut, if I recall correctly. I think I was in Germany, maybe even Afghanistan before I actually watched it.
I saw it once at theaters, and I was really excited. It was the first Marvel, I think first superhero movie at all that to follow Spider-Man 2002, which really blew the doors off. Obviously, it was in production before Spider-Man came out.
I don't know if X2 came out or not.
I thought that was a different year because I think that was after Daredevil, because I was super stoked on Daredevil because I just seen Spider-Man. And it was a February release. So May to February, X2 would have had to been released in that time period. I think the Hulk came out later in 2003.
No, X2 is a 2003 film.
What month? It would have been a summer April. Movie. Yeah, this is February. I remember because it came out during my birthday month.
Oh, okay, well, they're all right around the same time.
But so it is the first one after Spider. So like I was like, oh, I've seen one superhero movie that I love. I remember I've talked about this before. Spider-Man 2002 got me into superhero movies and comics. I was very excited. My dad took me. I was young enough to be able to enjoy it, but not love it. My parents even get me like little things for Valentine's Day when I was young. So I woke up. Maybe the week after or the same. It would have to be the week after. And then one of the things my dad just grabbed from the grocery store was a Daredevil comic, which is my first ever superhero comic. And it was like a standalone story. So I actually got it versus trying to jump into comics usually. So, but it's not a very good movie. I have no idea what the differences are.
I can't
feel
remember
like it was
either.
Better than I remember the original because I've only seen the original at theaters. Mm-hmm. First of all, I know it was in production already during Spider-Man, but I want to ask some questions about influences. Okay. The opening credits very much reminded me of the style. I mean, like, obviously they're different, but it was very much like, this is how superhero opening credits should be right now. Mm-hmm. And it looks just like, doesn't look just like Spider-Man's, but you can tell they saw Spider-Man. They were like, let's do cool opening credits where the buildings have braille.
What's the X-Men intro look like?
I don't think they have a whole opening thing. Spider-Man was the first, like, not the first. No, I mean, like, Spider-Man had one of the first cool ones, you know, with the webs, because they wanted to show you something since he has become Spider-Man for like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Which is why they developed that one that way, with the hand going through and like getting the webs on it and the outline of the Goblin helmet.
Looking here on YouTube, I just brought up X-Men 2000 opening titles.
Isn't that kind of like jeans or something?
Same thing as like Spider-Man jeans and stuff. And there's like a tunnel you're going through. It's all psychedelic with the so yeah, this is, and X-Men came out in 2000.
Yeah,
so X-Men influenced Spidey, and also influenced Daredevil. Cause that's what it's supposed to be.
Of influences like. Back then, every time there was a transformation, like when he gets the goo in his eyes,
his
body and you see new synapses connecting. The same thing when Peter Parker gets bit, you like see his DNA like changing color or something. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure the X-Men movies have done, and basically the opening of the X-Men movies does the same thing.
Yeah,
so all in vogue at the moment, like back then. Now you don't have to like go
products
through
their,
like in someone's head and see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they don't need to show us that for us to understand that. Like, oh, we got stuff on him. Now he's blind. You don't did the director's cut feel R-rated or closer to R-rated?
I mean,
I'm wondering if that
there's,
I'm wondering if the cut, the theatrical cut we saw was that way because it was influenced by Spider-Man to make it PG-13.
Possibly. I don't know. I don't know. You could see where it feels like they shot enough to go R or hard 13, low R.
It's pretty hard
they
13.
Wanted.
At least.
But it's not necessary. And really, it's just like extra blood and a few extra bad words.
It feels it feels like cut a few more violent scenes and didn't have blood when there were like stabbings or.
It's funny.
Maybe
because,
more bullseye scenes, even, I think.
That's what I think it mostly is drawing out some of the character quote unquote development, extending the fights and set pieces a bit, and then I even think there was like maybe some rearrangement of some of the things. I can't remember 100%. That's how little I give a crap about either version of why I've only seen them once, because by 2003, you know, you have Spider-Man and you're like, wow, that's so much better than even X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
in a way. But Daredevil everything. Yeah, Daredevil feels very, very much just like X-Men. Like, it's as cheap looking, as cheap feet.
I'm gonna be honest, I think I like it more than X-Men. I do not have any love for the early X-Men movies most of the others.
Yeah, and that might be because of like goofy shit like Colin Farrell, which is awful, atrocious, but it's so bad it's funny.
It's like
I don't know if it's fun. It's funny.
I enjoyed it. I'm like, obviously this was already shooting, but I'm like, if I was shooting this after Spider-Man completely production, I'd be like, go full Willem Dafoe. And he's almost up there. He's not as good as Willem Dafoe. He's just he's going for it, man. And I love when he overacts. Two of my favorite roles of his are Horrible Bosses, you know, where he's wearing the fat suit and the bald patch and stuff. And Fright Night, where he's by far the reason people need to wait to watch the remake of Fright Night is he chews the scenery, literally.
Yeah. nice pun.
Because he's a vampire.
But I don't think I don't think this has to be rated R. If anything, they may have added some additional blood and deaths just to get R for publicity. Yeah, for publicity.
It's unrated, publicity. Everyone.
There's a lot of issues with it though. Even the director's cut and there's things that I think really like the worst part about it is, no matter what, this will forever feel like a 2000s movie. There's no getting around it. Batman and Batman Returns almost feel like they could still fit in even the 2000s. Yes, yeah. Aesthetically and graphics.
Well,
no,
especially
but...
because even aesthetic, like it's goth. It's like timeless Gotham with like cars that are far older than the year the movie was shot. And like...
right. So it's like these are. I mean, fuck God, dude. The soundtrack, you know,
it reminds me of the Amy Adams soundtrack
from Evanescence. Evanescence. That's her
when
her.
She's training.
And oh my God, they play the same crappy songs again. I hate top 40. I've never been a big fan of top 40 since I was like 10, 11, someone's like, here's the Ramones, check this shit out. And then it was like Mohawk and anyways.
The soundtrack is atrocious. Like it's like listening to the Spider-Man CD.
Such a product of its time.
Yeah. It's very much like the Spider-Man soundtrack with the, we need a hero to save us.
And it's funny because that shit went into the, into even 2012's of Avengers. Like I don't think any of the other hero films leading up to Avengers outside of the AC/DC,
I was going to say,
in Iron Man, none of them tried to have a theme song, but they did it with the Avengers, and it felt like just one of those things where they're like, no, this is still a Sony still thinks it's a fucking thing. Venom, fuck you, Sony. Fuck
I love
you,
every
Eminem,
time we talk about Venom
song.
I'm breaking geek.
Jammer.
Goes,
Venom, that's why I was Venom, doing it. Venom. That's what, because Jammer used to do it on LR mornings. So,
what did you think of the casting? I forgot that Jon Favreau played Foggy Nelson.
Oh,
I was like, oh shit!
I remembered. I remember all of that, and what's interesting is
Karen Page is a joke. But.
Well, yeah, I was going to say what's interesting is how much in this movie, not necessarily characters, but certain story elements and points and whatnot are very comic accurate, almost to its detriment, especially in the fight scenes where they're really trying to copy the way comic book fights are. But we're left looking at this remembering Daredevil's just a really strong dude that's trained really well, his physical abilities are based on human limitations at their, you know, max, of course, but he can't jump and land and survive all that shit. He doesn't take enough damage, so, but it's very comic accurate because Daredevil in the comics can do things. So I have issues disconnecting sometimes, but Favreau is Foggy. I actually like. It's probably the best part of it all. Even though they make him a little too dumb in this,
definitely a very different version. I went to the new Daredevil. I'm like, what? Yeah. Foggy and Karen Page are useful. When I went to the Netflix series, I'm like, not in the movie. Karen Page is like grabs coffee once.
And then I Yurik is wasted. I can't even remember the actor that plays him.
The reporter.
Joe
Pagliano.
There you go.
Who just wants to eat steak inside the Matrix.
Yeah, I know.
I think most of the new footage is him being doing more than like just the opening scene. I don't remember a lot of him in the original cut except for throwing the match. I think most of what was added was him.
Michael
Clark Duncan, is that his name?
Thank you. Michael Clark Duncan. He was wasted in here. Yeah. Once you realize what they could have done, even
they were
not just
counting on a sequel.
Well, not even just counting on. I mean, probably, but not even just talking like compared to Vincent D'Onofrio or D'Onofrio, whatever.
D'Onofrio.
There you go. Not just compared to him, but even within the movie itself, it's like you want to build Kingpin up as this big bad. But we only get like three things to show us that he's a bit badass. One, the killing of Matt's dad,
which is like Jack. I was like, that's so clever. Yeah. They name his son with like very similar like Jack and Matt or something.
And then you get the beat down in his office the one time, and then just the fact everyone's scared of him. That's it. And then you get this fight. There's no real connection.
It's kind of like a Hawkeye-sized role.
It's awful, and it reminded me of how poorly Kingpin was used in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was my biggest complaint.
Oh,
I was like
that.
You guys didn't even need him. You could have just had Prowler and his gang of thieves be the primary guys. Even have some big science experiment going on that caused everything, but the Prowler and them are just there to get tech or parts, yeah. A heist, whatever the case may be. So it really made me realize how lucky Vincent was that they cared for the character, because and now I'm scared what Disney will do with it, because they want to make it more family friendly. And
Hawaiian shirts all day.
I think that hurts given what we've seen, and DC's going to kind of go through the same thing when they're trying to mainline Batgirl as the Batman Beyond that everyone wanted, with the Batman still going on and its side spinoff. It's kind of like self-competition, and you're damning yourself doing something so close to something people can still remember. And so Affleck as Murdoch is fine, serviceable. It's not awful.
Jennifer Gardner is hot but awful.
That's debatable, but to
she
to
was
each
back
their,
then.
Their own to each their own. I'm not an attractive dude. I'm cool with that, but no, I'm not a Gardner fan. She's in there with like Swank and Sarah Jessica Parker, where Julia Roberts and Sandra, all these like Meg Ryan. I don't dig them guys. Sorry.
She is not even in their class as far as acting ability. You like named a bunch of good actors.
Most of those actresses were way better, but like as far as aesthetics go, yeah, that's. You guys see my wife, so she's awful, but it's not her fault. 100%. It's a shitty written character.
Foggy's
it's,
line about nachos.
I don't even remember.
He made a joke about nachos, and he's like, no, she's Greek. It's nachos.
Yeah, Nachos, yeah. There you go. There
and she is not. Like, they did. I do not like I think Elektra is the weakest part of the TV series as well, but it was much better casting.
Oh yeah, much better casting, better actors, better writing. You can definitely see where, especially going into the Defenders and shit, where she was misused, where the hand was misused, and yeah, it is what it is.
I do want to go back to Michael Clark Duncan very quickly because okay. I thought he crushed it. Like, he didn't have much to do, but I thought he was almost as good as
it's
Vincent
wasted.
D'Onofrio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's like, he was a fine great in everything choice. He does, but he's wasted. He's
their fight's
he's
pretty cool, but
used.
That's yeah. I agree, he's not used enough. But I thought he would have been a good Kingpin if they'd done more sequels or combined Spider-Man and Daredevil earlier or something.
Written
even though
some
this was Fox, and
lines.
I thought it was Sony until the opening credits.
Oh, really? No,
and
it's
since it's
Fox, 100%.
They released Daredevil pretty close to X2.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, now
well,
Marvel
they,
does
they
it
wanted
all the
to
time,
compete against. They wanted to compete against Spider-Man and show that hey, we've got more characters. Because you got to remember, Fantastic Four also hits.
That was
in,
during
what,
the
05?
X-Men trilogy. I think it was before X3.
I think it's 05.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, but he's great for what he does, but I mean Michael Clark Duncan or Michael Duncan. Yeah, it's Michael
Clark. I don't know if we have
Duncan.
It right or not. I wrote Michael Clark Duncan
so.
Last night.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Right.
It is. Oops, it is. You have me questioning myself, but Fantastic Four is 2005.
Okay.
Yep.
I think 2006 is the Last Stand, isn't it? Is that many years between the movies?
X3 was X-Men.
But I think it came out the year I graduated. No, it could. Maybe the year I graduated high school it came out. I thought
X3,
that
2006.
Summer. Yep.
May 06.
So they kind of put Fantastic
I was in
Four
Iraq.
Before.
No, I wasn't.
X3.
I was home on R&R. That's right. Because... Our friend, no, I'm joking, Larry was our friend, but I put it in air quotes because it was such a terrible movie, but he worked at the theater and was able to get us into the midnight screening for free, and yeah, it was atrocious, and we never let him live it down. Yeah, oh. It was like, dude, you brought us to that, so...
Yeah, I wrote down some of my favorite lines from the film.
You want to do some of those after your break?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Guys, listen to this ad from Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. So lines you like, Nick, really?
Well, actually, first I want to talk about Stan Lee. It's a very similar situation to Daredevil's appearance in No Way Home, where a blind person does something and Stan Lee's like he's a blind person, stops him from stepping in the traffic. And he's like, what the fuck? Just like everyone's like, what the fuck? You caught a brick?
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote down a few lines. I hope first he says this in the courtroom. Because he's basically Dexter in this, where it's like he's fine if they get let off because he doesn't really have a bloodlust like Dexter where he has to kill, but he does kill everyone in this movie except for Kingpin.
Bullseye's still alive.
I don't remember what happened to Bullseye.
He's in the body.
Oh yeah, he's in the body
very
cast.
End of the fucking movie.
But like he kills that one guy in the subway just without remorse.
Yeah. Yeah, leaves him on the train. The train kills him.
Yeah, but
he just knocked him over. The guy could have potentially gotten up.
Oh, he broke. Rolled out of there was a big crunch when he like hits the corner of it. Like he broke his legs or his back.
Comic book.
But
who
the
knows?
Line that applies to that guy, they he tells him in court and reminds me of Dexter is, I hope you find justice before it finds you.
Yeah. Like a lawyer could really get away with
saying that.
Or
like, objection. I do like Colin Farrell where he's like, I missed. I never missed. And he gets even more pissed at Daredevil. Oh, yeah, there was a fuck in there. I wrote that down.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can get one of those with a PG-13. You just you can't have all the blood. I think the blood and the violence.
You get one fuck
added to.
Like the last Bond movie had the first fuck ever, and it was just so nonchalant. It's not even the big actions. It's not like Bond yells fuck when he gets shot or something. It's like he's talking with M, and M's like they're just talking about the state of the world, and M's just like, for fuck's sake.
let's not forget. So, you know, this is quite the. Sidebar to the conversation, a little etymology and word history, but the words Americans consider obscene are not always obscene in other countries, and other countries have words that they use regularly that we consider quite obscene. So that's one on why who the fuck cares.
But Bond is a movie that's supposed to be PG-13 in America too.
Right, so. But what I'm saying, why should America really give a fuck about fuck, shit, bitch, ass, damn, hell, or shit? I don't know if I already said shit, but I like shit, you know? Oh,
it's like
I don't
South
like
Park
shit
episode where
itself,
they
but I like the word. No, because shit at one point was in medical books. The word fuck is in law books because, you know, that... It literally, at some point, someone got a broom up their ass and said, I don't like these words, and convinced enough other people to not like those words. Well, guess what? They're just words. As Thor said, all words are made up. So, we tell my son that they're grown-up words because you need to know, you need to be of maturity to know when and where you can use such words. But yeah, anyways.
Speaking of fuck, I was so shocked that Kevin Smith is in this movie.
Oh, really?
I'd forgotten that completely. I didn't even know if that was actually a director's cut thing or something.
I don't know either, honestly.
It's all because of his buddy Affleck,
who made famous
enough to be Daredevil.
Yep, indeed.
Not just by making his movies, but by producing and giving the script to Weinstein for Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the craziest movies to see his name on. It's only executive producer, but you're like, Kevin Smith executive produced one of the greatest films of all time, an Oscar-winning film.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So it was crazy to hear, you know, rumors in Hollywood that he was kind of considered a bad influence or whatever, and it's like, really, Smith was the bad influence?
Yeah,
but then you hear other rumors about like people getting sticks up their asses and stuff and getting too big for their britches and needing some needing their dick smacked in the dirt a bit that happens. So
I forgot one of the quotes.
What's that?
The excuse, a nice tie-in to a movie only 4 years earlier released by Fox, where Foggy's like, what happens to you all the time? He's like, I'm in the Fight Club.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, you aren't allowed to talk about it.
I haven't seen it. No,
yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Foggy hadn't seen it yet. And it's funny. I dig it. It's funny. I love Fight Club. I hate Helena Bonham Carter. And everything she's in, I hate her,
I like her in Fight
on
Club.
Screen. No, I still hate her because of Marla in Fight Club. Ruined... everything awful, great character, awful person, so much so that all I see is her on Helena Bonham Carter. That, and she's done a lot of really crappy movies with what's his name, yeah,
I like does any Tim Burton movie,
yeah,
and
the Harry Potter shit, I can't stand Bellatrix.
So let's talk about some of our least favorite parts. I remember this clear. Actually, I did watch the normal cut of Daredevil. It was like 10 years ago at a friend's house. We were trying to watch. We had a little podcast, never went anywhere, but still on my website. It's funny to listen to because it's like listening to just me talk with a friend. He's still my friend. I still see him all the time. But we went out to watch the worst superhero movies we could find. So we watched Daredevil, Catwoman, Howard the Duck, like.
Oh, God. Oh,
Fantastic
God.
Four, the first one.
No.
Like, it was intentional. That's the last time I saw Daredevil. But, and from that watching experience, I do remember my least favorite part of the movie is when they're fighting on playground equipment.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When they're both balancing, and she's not weirded out at all that he's blind and he can, like, fight her.
Everything happens
jump
so
crazily.
Fast. They,
like,
they
both
fall
jump
in love.
Yeah.
And... It's awful.
He's kind of,
I
he's kind of a little bit of a creeper, a predator. The way he like follows her and like,
yeah.
He's like, yeah. I just want a name. She's like, fuck off.
I know, right? I said the park fight is so
that's the
lame.
Worst part of the movie, and there's a lot of bad parts.
Literally what I said. Some of the things I put, like I said, this movie's dated. Like yeah. that
you feel that way about Spider-Man too.
Biggest so. Thing. Yeah, that by far is one of the biggest offenses. But here's Kyle's list, and Nick can feel free to add on and or you know tack on to these. One, everyone's too accepting of the situation. Like Matt in the hospital, Dad, I'm blind, but I can hear everything better. Something's happening to
or
me.
Or like
okay,
I heard
so,
you in the
so
doctor. Office.
Yeah, the music already said it. Fuck my life with that. The bully fight. There's no context there whatsoever. There's not even a haha. You're blind, kid. Type shit. It's just
making fun of his dad. Still, that's all.
You know, it's
his dad's
whatever.
A pretty good performance. I enjoyed that. And he's. I don't even know the actor's name, but oh, and I forgot the Salamanca is in it. He's like the king, the guy you see instead of Kingsman for the first, that's his character name in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. I don't know the actor's name, but it's fun seeing actors 20 years ago that you've watched shows about since. And you're like,
there's no thorns in the petals of a rose.
I know. Well,
guys, like what the
his
fuck?
His hand's small enough.
Ollie.
He's not crushing.
He's
both.
Not. No, he's only got the petals. You can see the bottom of the bulb connected to the. Come on now.
That's a good one.
The hair, blind people, they usually have someone, especially if they've got a job, that will assist them to make sure they're not having messed up hair. We didn't need fucked up hair to know he was blind. And going into court, his paralegals and clerks and shit would help make sure he was presentable. So fuck you, Fox.
Add something that I did like. I liked how they showed how blind people deal with money. I've seen that in real life, where you fold your bills differently, so you know if it's a 10 or
so,
a 5.
Exactly.
Or
so why the messed up hair? Like, that makes no sense to me.
If I had to explain it, I'd say it's because he's always showing up after taking off the mask.
But he's not.
I know.
You could try to explain
he's like,
it like that.
They very much treat him like Peter Parker.
Yeah.
More than the Daredevil show did, where he's always like, oh, gotta run.
Yeah, right? And then... Yurik wasted Kingpin. Wasted the church fight. I mentioned it's all wire work. Too much jumping. Too much flipping and shit. Especially for Bullseye, who again is supposed to just have really good fucking aim.
It makes me think of Zack Snyder's Watchmen, where it's like in the comic they have no superpowers, and the movie they're punching through concrete and stuff.
Yeah,
like the Kingpin. I mean, not the Kingpin. The comedian fight, which I love at the beginning.
Oh yeah, him against Ozzy. Is awesome.
She spoiled an old comic book.
But other than that list is shit. It really just comes down to the fact that they really tried to copy the comics, and it shows you how and why certain mediums work. You know, you can accept a lot more goofiness out of a comic than you can out of a live action series. Let's face it, the tone. Feel, look, style of line delivery, hell, even some of the actual writing in some of the biggest comics in histories, very similar to what you get on the CW stuff. Most people don't consider the CW stuff to be like A-class entertainment.
I like Legends of Tomorrow because it's the one that doesn't care that it's bad. Like,
but that's
it's like, let's
it's
cheap,
doing what
Ian.
It's supposed to. Yeah. And there's times where that fits. I'm just talking.
That's the only
like,
one I like of their shows. That's because it just they're like we don't care. Yeah. It's a goofy premise. We bring in goofy characters.
It's a big chunk of comic books though, having that corniness, having it just is. It's a part of it. Not knocking it. However, that doesn't necessarily translate over to other mediums such as a live action show or movie. And as we an audience have been introduced to better takes on comic book movies
and even the
by
same characters
both DC
like Charlie
by both DC and Marvel
that one's really grounded
same characters And it's not even great because there's still super fantastical elements.
But I mean, compared
but they just
to this,
they managed to translate page to screen better by saying this will work and this won't. So if we can change it, we will. If we can't, we just jettison it. You know, and it's so far for the most part, it's been mostly good. But these movies, man, things that are dated that feel dated, I have a harder time enjoying them if it goes beyond the aesthetic. So clothing and stuff from an 80s movie or background music. But
let me bring up one. Go ahead. It's so outdated, but I love the Lethal Weapon theme, which is like wow 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 wow. It's like all like saxophone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy stuff like that in a lot of films.
It can if it's for it, but when it's this big genre like superhero films or a big genre like certain types of comedies or whatnot that. You could just pop it in, and no matter what, you're going to be... Some of Adam Sandler's movies suffer from 90s
I don't like
especially
really
Big,
90s
Big Daddy. But like...
Oh, I did like Big Daddy once upon a time.
It's fine.
Stewart's
it's a fine
movie. That's the main thing I remember
but
about
it's
it.
Very, yeah, it's very, 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 very dated. It doesn't fit as seamless or timeless as like a Billy Madison or a Happy Gilmore.
Mr. Deeds probably feels super dated too.
Deeds feels very
I would like to watch Anger Management again. I know we're off on a tangent, but that's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies.
Well, I mean,
because of Jack, not
it's part of the issues things being outdated. You know, does this have any redeeming, like legit? It's good, not good for what it is, but you could do something like. This in the movie. Do you think there's something worthwhile here?
No, but no. And I'm going to start to answer our final question. The only reason I enjoyed watching it more than the Amazing Spider-Man films is I haven't seen it in at least 10 years. It's the only reason I enjoyed it more is I didn't remember Kevin Smith. I didn't remember like how crazy Bullseye was. Like, but I'm going to say I think it's worse than the Spider-Man movies.
This is why specifically what we just stated. Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man, especially 2, and 1 suffers from so much more within the movie. This suffers mostly because we've gotten so much better since it came out.
I don't think an adult who watched it in 2003 would enjoy it, though. As a kid, I was like 13 or 14, so I was like,
Most everyone my age that saw the director's cut thought, because they were the ones pestering me to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know me, I don't drink beer because I don't see the point of drinking something until I learn to like it. Like that makes no sense to
just
me.
Just have to buy the right beer,
dude. From all over Germany, beers. Different ales, different all sorts of. I've had all sorts of different because I know that there's differences. But that whole acquired taste thing. So you know me, if I didn't like it the first time, it's gonna be really hard to get me to go back to that well, and that's what Daredevil. Was I know a lot of people that thought this was a serviceable cut of superhero film. Now it quickly got dated because of Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. But what is the Amazing Spider-Man 2's excuse? Better graphics, more writing, money behind it. Like what is their excuse for having such god awful terrible writing? Exposition, lack of care for the audience. No. Only because this is 100% a product of its time. Does this make it better than the Amazing Spider-Man? Because they had already gotten their ass kicked for Spider-Man 3. They should have fucking known better, and they didn't.
They went in a completely different direction, and it was a terrible. Like the parents thing. It's like no one gives a shit about his parents. Once a while in the comics, they're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents or something. But Roosevelt. Those, man, you're kind of convincing me to hate, just by me quoting things from the fucking Amazing Spider-Man 2. You're kind of convincing me.
It's awful. As a movie, and it has no excuse to be that way because the MCU had already kicked off. Hell, we'd already had the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight Rises came out the same
what's
year.
What's the excuse, as Sony?
Amazing Spider-Man.
Fuck you, Sony.
Well, at least. Now, of course, Kevin Feige's name is on Daredevil, as it is on all the X-Men movies. He was just a low producer who didn't really have...
Fuck you, Avi Arad.
Yeah. But I like Amazing Spider-Man 2 better than this, because I like a few of the action scenes in it. I actually like the airplane scene at the beginning, even though I hate the fact that his parents are a plot point at all. I think it's really well done. I like the goblin fight, though getting to the goblin is super stupid. I don't really like any of the Electro fights, but I like those two scenes enough to, I think they're better fight scenes than anything Daredevil has throughout its over 2 hour runtime.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with, I do think it's worse. Then again, I hate the Amazing Spider-Man more than the Amazing Spider-Man 2 because it doesn't do anything interesting. Like, it's not so bad, it's good. It's just like, meh. It's like, meh. A lizard, yeah. Okay, he's turning people into lizards. Cool, dude.
I love how much No Way Home shits on all the bad ideas.
He tried to turn
that.
A bunch of people
That's
into
right,
lizards.
Guys. That's right, guys. Literally, go back. If you didn't notice it the first time, go back and watch how many moments from both of the past Sony movies, franchises, have their shit made fun of. They broke the Green Goblin mask. For a reason.
Scene too. Remind me of
it's
Spider-Man
fine.
No More.
Yeah. That's part of it. But you can't deny that they literally attack the things that are dumb comparatively.
Oh, that's why it's so great.
Exactly. So his actually makes a good sense both in character and as a haha. See what
they
we did
almost
there?
Should have. Ask but Peter Parker who he's fought. And he's like, I fought some bird dude and a guy with a stupid helmet.
Fishbowl on his head.
Yeah, the fishbowl. Like, what the fuck?
But they just straight up make fun of Electro. And they straight up make fun of Lizard. You know, they don't get a, you know, nice character. No, your guys' shit was stupid.
I like
it. And so was Sandman. Sandman gets it too. Your shit was stupid.
Well, I like that Marvel started doing it with characters people didn't like that much, and even people characters did like bringing back Trevor, but making fun of how bad an idea it was. Or I'm even the line in No Way Home where he's like, "I fought a purple alien in space." It's like,
yep,
that's very disrespectful to the Mad Titan. But yes, you did fight a purple alien in space.
Yeah. But that wasn't a bad thing.
No. All those things are super positive. I feel like Marvel, now that they're this deep in the universe, it's fun to have them. Be like, just, you know,
joke about it in universe. Yeah.
Especially the characters that didn't work and the movies didn't work that they've tried to retcon enough that you like them, like going back to Thor 2 in Endgame, because they're like, remember this movie? You didn't like it, but here's 15 minutes in that time period.
Yep.
Especially since that was, I think it was partially co-written by Marcus and McFeely, where they did a draft, which is probably why they chose to do that as Endgame writers.
Could be. Don't know. Anyways.
But yeah, I would say worse than Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Slightly better in the way that... No, not
I'd
good.
I'd rather you listen to this podcast than re-watch that movie. Don't re-watch that movie.
Yeah, I was going to say it's slightly better in the way that a cut with a paper cut is better than that just deep enough knife cut. They both still suck.
You
still got cut
under the nail versus a paper cut.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's garbage. It's bad. Yep. What would you review it? Let's review it like a letter.
Oh, God. Grade it?
Yeah, grade it.
As is to today. Yeah. As a movie today.
Yeah. What do you think of it? What grade would you give people who have been watching it this week? B?
It's a D. It's a D. Okay. Delta.
I'll keep it that way, too. I like D.
It's a D.
Yeah.
It's just...
Double D's.
And if I tried to put myself in a 2003 mindset, having seen Spider-Man,
X-Men, and
this
Blade.
This might be more like a C minus.
I was gonna say C minus. So I
at
agree.
Best, yeah. So
at least we did.
Should I do the wrap up stuff?
Yeah,
now?
Wrap her up.
All right, everyone. We have our brand new Genreverse podcast network channel on YouTube. Please do subscribe. Give us some beautiful view time and subscriber counts. Check out the LRM YouTube channel as well for all the great celebrity interviews. The podcast network is on all of your favorite podcast apps. If you're using it, we're probably on there for free, so please do follow us. And then Daily Cup of Genre, doing everything no mercy podcast, doing Cobra Kai, Star Wars has the Cantina, where we're currently reviewing Book of Boba Fett, Marvel Multiverse, Anime Versal, big deal coming up this upcoming week, because we have Bell to review for Anime Versal reviews, and Jonesy from Nick's podcast will be doing a written review for that film. Cool. And I believe those will be coming out on Monday, so if you're into anime, check that out. And of course, we have the website itself, lrmonline.com. All your entertainment news needs and opinions are right there. The podcasts are available one click away. Nick and I have social media information down below at @LRM_exclusive and at the Genreverse for the websites, guys.
Hells yeah. And with that,
Excelsior. Enough said.